Good morning, everybody. It is the 10th of June, 2021. It's our second show today here on Education Talk Radio, which is part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and everything we do is located over at ace-ed.org, which is the home website of the consortium, where our magazine, Equity and Access, beautiful issue of our online journal, just put up there last week. Okay, you'll love it. It's a 95-page issue. All our podcasts are there, plus tons of other information about equity and access in pre-K-12. So please, ace-ed.org is the place to go. Where'd that come from? There we go. Get rid of that. I'm Larry Jacobs, and thanks for being here today. Got a show with some good friends today, the folks from Bookshare, Benetech, out in California. All right. We have, first of all, ladies. I love doing shows with these folks. We have Jillian Hetzler. Hi, Jillian. It's Larry here.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you today at 7:30 in the morning? Are you in California?
No, I'm actually in sunny Seattle, Washington today.
Same time zone. Thanks for getting up so early.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
Happy
okay.
to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you here, Jillian. And Mr. Rissaputi, are you there?
I'm here, Larry. How are you?
Wait, that accent. Where could that be from? Could that be from Maine? Is that a Maine accent?
It's possible. A little bit still.
It's little, not much anymore. Joe Rissaputi is the VP of Marketing over at Benetech Bookshare, and my good friend, originally from one town over where I'm broadcasting from. He's from Standish. I live in Cornish. It's great to have you here on air with me, Joel.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.
It's great. How's everything out there? The pandemic, et cetera? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're doing okay. I think just, you know, kind of like everybody else, seeing what comes next.
Yeah, well, hopefully nothing comes next. We're all better off for it. Okay, and wow, it's been quite a year, so you guys really came through, too, like everybody else did. We're going to talk about Bookshare Special Collections today for K-12 education, but I want to just talk to everybody. Joel, tell us everything about Bookshare that pre-K-12 educators need to know. Joel.
Sure. Just a quick introduction to Benetech and Bookshare. So Benetech, we're a nonprofit. We empower communities with software for social good. So we're a tech nonprofit. And really our work is all about transforming how people with learning differences and disabilities read and learn. So it's changing the lives of students and adults. We use technology to do that in an inclusive way, be able to empower folks, enable folks to be able to, and students to be able to access information in the ways that work for them. And Bookshare is our largest initiative. It's the largest platform of accessible ebooks for students with reading barriers that enables them to read their way, which is really the most important thing. So this can include dyslexia, learning disabilities, visual impairments, physical disabilities, and other reading barriers. And so I'm also excited to share, Larry, with you and your audience that our collection is now over a million books. So
yeah.
A million accessible ebooks available to students to help them to be able to really help them not just reading and learning, but helping them kind of propel them down their successful path for life. So that's a quick introduction to Benetech and Bookshare.
It can never be enough of an introduction to such a great organization. You guys are all going to heaven, I can tell you that. And before I say one more sentence, what is the cost of this to an educator and their students, Joel?
It is free.
Free.
Yes, you're welcome, and thank you for helping us to point that out. So this is free.
Oh, man.
It is supported by, so it is free to a student with reading barriers, and we are able to operate under a copyright exception to be able to provide that free to students that have reading challenges.
And you folks do an amazing job, and everybody, it's Benetech. Benetech.org, but you can go to Bookshare.org, which will take you right to the heart of the matter here. Bookshare.org, it's incredible. Jillian, what do you do there?
I am the Director of Content and Library Partnerships at Bookshare.
Talk about it. What's
so
that mean?
I, So I work with anything collection related. So how our books get into the collection, how we service them to members, and also working with book publishers as well to donate content to our collection as well.
Busy job. Are you a librarian at heart? Is that what you are?
At heart, even if not officially by a degree.
But you act as though, wow, it's very librarian-like, and we love librarians here, okay? And what you're doing is incredible. Actually, you brought this up. Are you the person responsible for getting all books into Bookshare? How does that work? How does a book get in there? Jillian.
Yeah, so it's I am not a single-woman operation. I do have a wonderful team of collection associates who work with me, and we get books in our collection by two kind of main ways. So Joel mentioned a million books. So 90% of those books come to us through publisher donations. So they agree to donate their ebooks to Bookshare, and then we take those into the collection and then automatically convert them to the different accessible formats that allow our members to read in the way that works best for them. Unfortunately, even though, say, 900,000 is a big number, it's not all the books in the world. We have partnerships with about, even actually 1,000 book publishers, so a big number, but not all of those books in the world are available in Bookshare. So the other 10% of our collection, we actually get in by manually digitizing them and then converting them to accessible formats.
Wow. Well, what kinds of books? And Jill, I'm going to stick with you for a few minutes. What kinds of books? And the reason I'm asking that, I know you have fiction. You have nonfiction. You have children's, if I may, young adult, okay, as well as children. Do you have textbooks as well? I mean, what does a teacher need to know? Just go over that for a minute. What kinds of books?
Yeah, we definitely we pretty much have almost every genre of books available in the Bookshare collection. And we get a lot of requests directly from students and teachers, so a lot of those also are textbooks as well, textbooks, workbooks, literacy, reading learners, in addition to the kind of fiction, nonfiction, or genre books that you mentioned as well. And we have books for all ages, so it's not just
important.
K-12, and then also beyond. So we have a large adult collection, too, for when students age out and want to read on their own. So.
Wow. It's an enormous undertaking, and you guys do such a good job, and we do everything we can here to help you guys get the word out. And how many educators, Joel, I'll ask you, how many educators, two questions, how many educators use your services, or how many students? You can answer that either way. And I just had another question. Do you market your products as VP marketing beyond education? What are the other places you market to, if there are any? Joel?
Sure. No, thanks for the questions, Larry. So we're actually closing in on, we have over 950,000 members. We call them members, which is back to your library term, is a term that is familiar to librarians for sure.
Yep.
And we are in all of the major school districts really across the country. We're working with from New York City public schools to rural schools in, Arizona and Maine. We're really go across the spectrum in terms of access, being able to provide access to Bookshare for educators and in school districts. In terms of the other spaces for Bookshare, we certainly do promote that. We have, their seniors is an example, right? So we have, when you think about reading challenges, right, there runs a spectrum, and as Jillian mentioned, right, there are people who are students who may go on, right, post-secondary and then afterwards. They still want to be able to leverage Bookshare. They certainly can. And then we also have adult companies, right? They could seniors, veterans, you know, those. And we're also global as well. So, you know, we're doing work at home and abroad to really be able to get people to access information, be able to read and learn in a way that works best for them.
It's really great stuff. And since you brought it up, I have a question. I know you guys, like, for folks who have some sort of challenge, be it physical, whatever, dyslexia, they learn differently perhaps, they whatever, blindness, cerebral palsy, that sort of stuff. There might be a reading barrier. But I'm just curious about this. You mentioned, you know, you work in big city schools as well as rural. Would you provide books just because people don't have access to those books? They live in a small rural community. There's nothing wrong with them, per se. Okay, they have no need beside their rural. Would they be able to use Bookshare as well? Like,
so
in a very rural school? I'm just asking. I never asked that question of you before.
Right. So because we do operate under a copyright exception to be able to provide these books, there is still a need that has to be shared by basically called a proof, right, or qualifying for them to be able to access it for free. That's how we're able to provide these books, you know, so many books in a collection now that's over a million because of that copyright exception.
And you guys kind of just passed a million in terms of what you offer, right?
Correct.
There's a congratulations
due. That's right. Thank you.
I'm sharing
news with you here on your show, right?
I mean, really, I looked at it on the website today, and I can tell you the number, 1,854, probably 855 by now, okay? But
that's
just over a million. I mean, congratulations, guys. Jillian, congratulations.
Yeah, really. I mean, Jillian and her team, you know, they're amazing work to work with the publishers. She mentioned, you know, now we're up at about 1,000 publishers that we work with. But, you know, as she said, those two ways of bringing them in, her team does an exceptional job of bringing those in and then curating that collection, right, which is the other, you know, the topic for today around special collections how that helps to, you know, educators and students and parents in terms of, you know, accessing, you know, the books that they either need or that they are interested in.
You folks are amazing. And Jillian, as we swing into special collections, let me ask you one specific question. We have a lot of children out there, and you just do the percentage in terms of kids who might have some sort of reading challenge, but they don't speak English. They're Spanish, okay, or whatever. Can you guys translate for them? Is that part of special collections, or what's going on with that? Jillian.
Yeah, so we do have a large number of books in Spanish, but those are all books that were published in Spanish or already in. So we don't necessarily translate books into other languages, but if they say a publisher has a translated work, then yes,
yeah,
we have those. So we have a whole bunch from whether it's classics or contemporary, which is really fantastic, and some picture books as well, which is fun.
So if a publisher, I'll use the Da Vinci Code, my old buddy, my old neighbor, Dan Brown, okay, that's published in 37 languages. Would you have it in 37 languages or whatever that number is?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Not specific to that one, but just using them as an example.
Yeah, so if we had a relationship with that publisher who publishes whatever languages there are, then yes, we would.
Cool. It's really Bookshare.org, everybody. I cannot say enough. Talk about special collections, Jillian. Okay, I think this is your bailiwick. What are they?
Yeah, so special. We keep talking about, like, a million books in the collection, and it's a lot. It can get overwhelming. You know, how do you find the book that you actually want or need? Or what if you don't know what you want? And so special collections are basically a way for Bookshare staff to help curate lists of titles to help our members more easily navigate this collection of books. So they could be by theme, you know, books on horses, for example, or bestsellers or awards, series. We have a lot of popular series out there. So if your student is like, I just want that next, you know, that next book in the, you know, Rick Riordan series or something like that, then, you know, you can easily find that. So we have a page on our site that's our browse page that kind of highlights certain of these collections so that teachers and students can kind of poke around and see what we're featuring and then also just search our entire database of collections if they want.
So, well, actually, I'm going to ask you this way. I'm going to ask you one thing else, but so what's your favorite one? What's your favorite one, special collection?
Oh, I can't just choose one. So I say there's three that I'm very excited about right now, some for more current reasons, and others are just perennial favorites. So the first is we have some really wonderful collections celebrating Pride right now, as it is June. So they feature young adult books featuring LGBTQ characters and storylines, which is fantastic. And then we also have a big summer reading initiative going on right now. And so
that
has actually four different collections. So I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to add more to it. But we have four different collections that are featured in our summer readathon, which is hashtag catch up together, if anyone wants to follow that on social media. And so we have summer reads for emerging readers, kids which are like more middle grade, teens, and then also adults as well. And our goal for this summer is, this has been a kind of a crazy year plus.
I would say so. That's the understatement of the century. Thank you. Yes, thank you. It's been nuts. Yeah.
So in years past, we've done themes that are kind of centered around, say, a national reading program. But this summer, we're like, you know what, let's just focus on reading for fun and celebrating the joys and pleasures of a good story. And so that's the central focus of these books that we've highlighted. So I'm just really excited about that, since that's actually one of the motivations that I work with Bookshare, is just to promote the love of reading, especially for those who, you know, have a few extra barriers maybe getting in that way. So those are very special to my heart.
True confessions from Jillian Hetzler. You love reading and you love books, don't you?
Yes.
You do.
That sums it up quite nicely.
You really, I can hear it in your voice. It's just, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. How soon, and we're going to talk, there's something else I want to talk about here. It's called Born Accessible. So I'm going to kind of lead into that. Okay. How soon after publishing do you get a book? So that, and we're talking to a lot of school librarians today. We're talking to a lot of K-12 educators today. How soon after publishing does Bookshare get the book and is able to get it out there for folks? Jillian.
Oh, for when we have those wonderful donation agreements with book publishers, we can get them on publication date. It is fantastic.
Wow.
So at the same time that these publishers are sending books to, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Overdrive, which powers many local libraries, we're getting them at the same time. Yeah. So one of the things that I love about this is that many of our readers are able to read that, you know, that next book in the series that I was talking about at the same time, or even sometimes even before their peers, especially if they're getting it from a library, because there is no wait list on Bookshare. Our readers can read it as soon as it's available. You don't have to wait for someone else to, you know, read it and then return it to the queue, so to speak.
Well, that's what you just said is very interesting. I have to get into that for one second. We're extrapolating here. Theoretically, just a million people at the same time could be reading the next Harry Potter book if there was one.
Yep.
Which, by the way, shows what century I'm in, but we won't talk about that. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, evergreen, big Harry Potter fan.
There you go.
Harry Potter fan.
Yeah. So. But seriously, could everybody get the new Harry Potter book at once? And everybody be reading it?
Yep. One of the joys of Bookshare, yeah.
And I keep coming up with new questions. When they see the book, do they borrow it for a specific amount of time, or is it theirs?
No, it is theirs. So they can download it. It'll be on their device. And however long it takes our readers to use the book is however long that they need it. So there's no kind of automatic expiration or anything like that. So you won't one day kind of open up your tablet or whatever it is you're reading on and say, oh, no, my book's gone. It'll still be there.
Well, the one thing leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing, leads to the next. It's just unbelievable. Okay, I got to tell you, it's just wild. Joe, I got to ask you, I mentioned this phrase before, and I've had Mike and Brad on here before talking about this, but there's a phrase, born accessible. All right, and that's a key phrase, and I know you folks work with publishers on this. Talk to Joel. Do you want to do the talking on that one?
Sure. So I'll do that, and Jillian does that. You know, she is heavily involved in that, working with the publishers,
I'm sure,
obviously, as well. And she and Michael, you had Michael on recently, and they work
really
as a team. But before I do that, I did just want to note, because you mentioned up front our main connection, Larry, and I thought I would share that in the hashtag catch up together, the summer reading challenge, which we have at 200,000 books for the summer, and we're up around 40,000 so far, so a good start. It started in mid-May and goes through the end of July. But I just did want to share and a shout-out, if anyone's on from it, to the main AEM program who shared. We saw them share on social and that with their with their members and their users. So they had shared that Bookshare summer reading challenge as well. So there you go, another little main connection for you.
It's a good main connection. There's another, by the way, I read your bio on site today, and there's a good main connection in there because it said you like fly fishing and you're from Maine. As you know, flies here are so big we actually shoot them. Okay, so it's interesting that you're now fly fishing now. It's unbelievable. You can't swat them. They're too big. You got to shoot them. That was a joke, Jillian. We live in the woods. That was a joke. Okay, they're not that big. Okay.
Well, you know, that depends on the year, but
it does. And then, and the forest. Yeah, right. Unbelievable.
Exactly. So, circling back to Born Accessible, right? This is an initiative, right? It's really an industry initiative. We are, the whole idea is that when a book is born digital, it should also be born accessible, right? So having it be accessible from the get-go. And as you know, there are publishers, as many of those publishers that we're working with already that Jillian mentioned, right, who have already moving down that path. We are also working with our, as Michael shared, with our global certification program to help certify in terms of accessibility, and a number of wonderful publishers that have gone through that process and more there. The other side of it, though, that I think is important for this conversation, right, is there's also something that we call buy accessible, right? And I think for folks who are on, educators who are on, librarians who are on, right, there's the demand side, right? And so, you know, I would, you know, put a, you know, throw this out to educators that are on, it's really important for them to be advocating for accessible books and accessible materials as well. Because there's, you know, kind of comes from the publisher side, but the groundswell of this, because the reality is that accessible books help everyone, right? They can help everyone.
Absolutely.
You know, with Bookshare, what we're doing is it is you have a reading barrier, but it doesn't mean accessible books can help every student. And so I would encourage, right, the educators who are listening, and to share with their colleagues that, you know, really, really look for that and work with your procurement teams to be asking for accessible materials. So those are kind of the two sides of the born accessible equation, if you will.
It's so interesting, and I must ask this question. There's a big difference between the accessibility need of someone, I'm just going to use two examples, someone who has dyslexia versus someone who is blind versus someone who might have cerebral palsy or something. How do you make a book, and I don't know if this is a Jillian or Joel question, how do you make a book, I'll use this crazy phrase, multi-accessible, if need be? Jillian, how do you measure those things, put that all together?
Yeah, so there are accessibility guidelines that book publishers can follow, and these are the same ones actually that apply to, say, a website or a digital platform as well. Because the fun thing about ebooks, they're essentially just little packages of web pages put together.
Yeah.
So that's actually one of the great challenges, though, is that. Or not challenges, but I say opportunities of weren't accessible, is that you can have that all built in at the beginning so that it can support, say, a screen, you know, someone using a screen reader to navigate the text, but also, say, if someone with dyslexia wanted to read one of those books on a, say, an app that also highlights the text, that does it as well. So you have a visual element in addition to say that aural element. And same with things like color contrast is very important too. So there's definitely a list of things that anyone producing content, whether it be an ebook or a website, does need to tick off. And the goals of those are to be as all-encompassing as possible.
And who, and let's say a student, someone, I'll say a college student, or whatever. I'll use my 12th grade experience, okay? I didn't need anything challenged, but let's just say someone did. Our teacher made us read The Mill on the Floss, which is the worst book ever written in the history of mankind, but the whole class had to read it, okay? But let's say it's not accessible, and I need it on tape, or not on tape, but on audio. Would you guys actually take the world's worst book and hire somebody to actually read the book aloud? How does that work? Who is responsible for the accessibility if it's not there already? Maybe George Eliot
right,
in this case, but yeah, you know. But I'm just using the worst book ever written in the history of mankind. Okay, in my opinion, by the way, in my opinion, I still owe. Jillian, I still owe a book report on that. It's been a number of years. But I still owe a book report on that to my 12th grade teacher. So, at any rate, Mill on the Floss, what do we do here?
So, fun fact, we actually have many copies of Mill on the Floss already live in the bookshare collection,
yes.
And some of those are from book publishers. So, in that case, you know, we have a digital copy, which is exciting. But let's say we didn't. So, none of those copies are what we call human narrated. You know, no one's gone into a production studio and read that lovely text out loud. But rather instead, we take the words, and our Bookshare technology uses the computer voices, so text-to-speech, TTS, to read the words out loud. And the cool thing about TTS is that, you know, there are many different voices out there, so that if you like a certain type of voice, whether it's male or female, has an accent, different range. Yeah. So going back to the, you know, Bookshare's motto of read your way, TTS is one way that we can help readers, you know, kind of customize their experience to meet their needs as well.
You know, what's out there today, we're just giving everybody, we're performing equity and giving them access. And it's what the world is about right now. And I just think I just can't tell you enough how I just think it's wonderful what you guys do at Bookshare, Benetech. It's, you know, beneficial technology. I mean, it's just amazing. Okay, that this is available to every kid, every educator, no matter where you are. It's unbelievable. And Jillian, I'm going to ask you again, okay, and maybe we'll phrase it this way. Rather than your favorite special collection, what's the collections that you think teachers need to know about? Jillian.
Yeah, great question. there's a nice big list. So for teachers specifically, I like to highlight our we have a whole bunch of NIMAC books which is a textbook repository. So for any teacher that has a student with an IEP, they can access those, very high-quality textbooks. We also have a large number of Lexile.
Do I hear an airplane behind somebody? Is there an airplane flying around back there?
Yes. I live near a lake, and there are seaplanes that
there you go. I thought
take off and
that.
Land.
There you go. Okay.
Right on it.
It was just one of those large flies outside your house,
right.
Larry. That's all it is.
That's Air Bookshare making a landing to pick up more books for people. Air Bookshare, everybody.
Oh, right. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, use it. Okay. So go ahead. Continue.
So we have collections of books by Lexile level, also different level readers, if that's a program that you're using in your school, Common Core text exemplars. And we also we've actually worked with several different districts. Apologies for the background noise here.
No, don't worry about it. Now that we know what it is, it's fun. Yeah, that. Yeah.
We have several different districts that we've worked with who've actually provided lists of books that they use in their classrooms. So we have curriculumists from, say, like Baltimore City schools and the New York Department of Education, where they said, here are the books we have for these grades, for these topics, and we've curated them together in collections and made them public so that if someone is like, oh, like I want to see what this district is doing, or I live near there, or you know, hey, I'm part of that district, then those teachers can really easily say, okay, great, here's all of the, say, language learning books for middle school, and then you can easily just say either assign a specific book directly to a student or subscribe them to that whole list to say that's all the books that they need for their school that year.
And if I'm a given school district, and currently post-pandemic I'm exactly as large as the actual school district, but if I were a school district, could I write you and say these are the books we'd love you to have available for us? Or is it just the large ones
ahead.
That would do that?
In general, we'd love to get ahead of requests because, you know, the ideal scenario and one of the kind of drivers behind Born Accessible is the idea that, you know, at the beginning of school, each student would have the book they need when they need it and not have to wait several months for it to come through. So, yes, we welcome any requests of books that are not live in the collections that we can get ahead of the start of the school year and help students start off on the right foot.
Man, I wasn't kidding. You are going to heaven. You guys are amazing. I mean, it's just, wow, just incredible. I got to tell you, what you folks offer at no charge to educators and the kids that need what you guys do is absolutely incredible. Seriously, you get the gold medal. When you meet the Wizard of Oz, you're going to get the gold medal, and it's a real one. Okay? I'm serious. So anyway,
we appreciate that, Larry.
It's true. It's true, Joel. Okay? It's true. Are you getting back here this year? No, it's too hard to travel this year. Or are you coming back this year? Joel.
Well, yeah, no, it's a challenge. We're trying to see if we can swing it or not. But, you know, things are still – the good news, like we said up front, is kind of we're all emerging back into some – normalcy, if you will, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But it'll take a little bit of time to get there.
It will. I hope you can come out here. But the bad news is, Joel, and so Jillian, you should know this too, but it affects Joel's family economically. You ready for this, Joel? Lobsters are $12.99 a pound here in Maine.
Wow.
Last year they were $5 a pound.
That's pretty steep.
Yeah. So if Jillian in Seattle wants a Maine lobster, it would probably cost $6,000. or three Bitcoin, whatever, whichever one you want to use. Unbelievable.
We can give students a virtual experience, right, where they can read about that lobster on Bookshare. So.
What an incredible segue, almighty Vice President of Marketing. Thank you. That was incredible. best. Don't have a lobster, anybody. Read about the lobster. Okay. There you go. Okay, excellent. Jillian, it's a pleasure to meet you and have you on today. Thank you so much for being here.
Bye,
thank
bye.
You.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, are you kidding me? And Joel, we'll talk soon, my friend, okay? $12.99 a lobster, Joel.
I know. That's outrageous.
It's outrageous. It is. Okay? We'll talk about it, okay? You guys take care. Stay safe, please. Okay? Keep up the good work.
Great. You too, Larry.
Thanks
very much for having us.
Oh, my
pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, I can't say enough for this company. Joel and Jillian and everybody there. I mean, the people there reflect the work they do, too. They all got good hearts. Okay? Bookshare.org. Just check it out. All right. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Talk about equity and access. This company is the living example of that. All right. So we'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Everybody, talk to you tomorrow.